It must not be a coincidence that this year, time after time, spoken about the avoda of Musar in the context of the calendar of the year. The title of this 10-minute Musar is The Last Days of Adar. In this week's Parsha, in Parsha Shemini, Rashi tells us that the inauguration of the Mishkan was on Rosh Chodesh Nisan. It's referred to in Halacha as the Shmonas Yimei Miluyim. But I want to focus not on Rosh Chodesh Nisan, when Aaron HaKohen begins the Avoda, but the last 7 days of the year, of the Halachic year. And I've never thought about this before. And that is that the year concludes with the first 7 days of the Miluyim. And in those days, there are two things that are unique. One thing is that Aaron HaKohen is on deck. He's not ready to do the Avoda. That's how the year concludes, number one. And number two, Moshe Rabbeinu puts up the Mishkan, does the Avoda, and according to the Medrash, he takes it down. And he puts it up, and he takes it down. What does this have to do with Chodesh Adar? You know, I realize, look back past the previous 10-minute Musars, and before Purim we talk about Purim, and after Purim we talk about Pesach. And I realize that whatever we said about Adar is not only about the first 15 days of Adar, it applies to all of Chodesh Adar. And what's the connection between, to restate Chazal's words, the Shivas Yimei HaMiluyim and Chodesh Adar? Particularly, what did we develop before Purim? We spoke about that Adar is a time of Tshuva Me'ava. It's an opportunity to return to HaKadosh Baruch Hu out of love. And we contrasted that to the days of Elul, which is Tshuva Me'ira. It's Tshuva Me'ava because in a moment's time, on Purim, v'nafochu, a person could be entirely changed and transformed. Beautiful. That explanation of the Sfas Emes that we discussed in the past makes sense up until Purim. But what does this have to do with the Shivas Yimei Miluyim, the last 7 days of Adar? That's question number one. Question number two, we mentioned also that Adar means, says the Sfas Emes, adore, to dwell with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's the shorish of the word Adar. When does HaKadosh Baruch Hu come to dwell? On Rosh Chodesh Nisan, not on Adar. So, before Purim we accepted that, because the idea was that there's such an intimate relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so that's why it's called Adur. That works for the first 15 days of Adar, but what about the second half? And number three, as we alluded to before, what is it about these last 7 days, going from the 23rd of Adar to Rosh Chodesh Nisan, that is the way in which we are supposed to conclude the halachic year? And it's not a coincidence. That's the end of the Zman. Every once in a while, I think that we should rename our talk. At the end of the day, it's not 10 minutes, so you shouldn't call it 10-minute Musar. So what should we call it? So I thought the Yerushalayim Review of Books. That every once in a while, you know what? I'm going to throw out a book that I want the Talmidim to read. In fact, I have nachas that I went into Moriah and I saw they reordered a whole stack of, someone just asked me today about it, Viktor Frankl's book, Life, Search, and Meaning, and I'm going to Moriah and telling them that I want some cut on the deal. But now I want to talk about a real book. Those are also real books, every single one that we've recommended in the past. And that is the Maral Sfarim. Now the Maral Sfarim are very hard, but I want to talk about the Sefer Netzach Yisrael. And to understand what the Sefer of Netzach Yisrael is all about is the key to answering the above question. And Netzach Yisrael is a Sefer that's about Golus and Geula. Netzach Yisrael is the most important source for the Maral in terms of Yitzias Mitzrayim. And the amazing thing, the reason I held up this book is this is the one that's a 3-volume edition of Netzach Yisrael. It's put out by Rav Hartman, And Rav Hartman does something amazing. It's a hard sefer to read Netzach Yisrael. There are people who devoted their entire lives to learning Maharal. But what Rabbi Hartman did is something fantastic. I encourage every single one of you to read a two-page summary. Rav Hartman summarizes. He asks Mechila a zillion times because he can't summarize the Maharal's words. But after all the Mechilas, he summarizes the Sefer Netzach Yisrael in three pages. And if we could summarize Rav Hartman's summary in two sentences, there are two basic tenets to the Sefer Netzach Yisrael. Number one is that Golus is not normal, which is amazing that we've been in an abnormal condition for 2,000 years, number one. And number two is, and here's the part that we're going to really focus on, is that Golus is necessary for Geula. Rav Hudner writes, Lo nocha daiti, Rav Hudner, who experienced the Holocaust in many ways, I did not rest at Shekova the Hizbir until the Maharal, it's Yaduah that Rav Hudner was one of the greatest expounders of the Maharal, at Shekova the Hizbir until the Maharal came along and explained Shechur bin Yisrael, that the destruction of Klal Yisrael, the Netzach Yisrael, Heim shneit stodim shal osam adbeah. They're two sides of the same coin. To bring it out in one sentence, I'll bring out one sentence, Perichavav and Netzach Yisrael. The Maharal writes, how does the Torah Kedosha start? Bereishis bara Elokim. When HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world, it's first started with Sayu Vavayu, with chaos. And only afterwards is Or. V'chein, writes the Maharal, Lifnei Havoyas Beis HaMikdash Hu Kadosh Lagamri, there is also a need for Churban. In the words of the Maharal, Lifi HaEder Yischadesh, you need absence and Golus to appreciate Geula. Now what that means in terms of Binyan Abayis, we'll discuss in Chodesh Av. I hope we're going to discuss in Chodesh Av, because if we're Zocha to Geula in Chodesh Av, we'll really appreciate what the Maharal says. But if Chas v'Chalila we don't, we'll need to spend time thinking what does this mean in regards to Beis HaMikdash and Chas v'Chalila, the absence. The Maharal goes on in another context and explains it. Now we'll get back to L'Inyanenu. The Maharal says, gives a beautiful mashal. He says the chick needs an egg beforehand to break. To create a chick, there needs to be an egg beforehand that breaks. And that's the way in which Geula comes. Geula first requires things to be taken down and broken. I heard a fascinating parallel in the Olam HaTorah that I've shared with the Talmidim in the past from Rav Yitzchak Berkowitz. Rav Yitzchak Berkowitz pointed out, in Rav Willig Shlita's words, the Ramah is the great compromiser. For us, I'm going to focus on Halach and Ashkenaz. There's a lot to say about Halach and Svarad as well. But in Ashkenaz, it's well known that the Ramah took different shitas in halacha, different minhagim, and he created different psharos that would still be consistent with the halachic system. There's a very different style in the psak of the Gra. Before we go on, the Ramah's psakim became standard in the entire world of Ashkenaz. There was a great giant, a great light, who sat in a corner in Vilna. Vilna has since been destroyed. And the Gra b'Gaonuso started from the beginning, without psharos, without minhagim, and the Gra, his style, is the style today that represents the pursuit of Amita Shel Torah. The pursuit of Amita Shel Torah. And isn't it amazing, where Berkowitz points out, that there's one place in the world that they follow the minhagim of the Gra. Today I was zocheh to be at a bris. At the bris, the Avi HaBen made two brachas, Tachniso b'briso shel Avram Avinu, and Shechiyonu v'kimonu v'yonu z'manzeh. That's Minhag HaGra. That's not the opinion of the Ramah. But that bris took place here, b'Yerushalayim HaKodesh. The one place in the world that the Gra's Minhagim is followed was not in Vilna, but in Yerushalayim. It needed, the development of Halacha needed the beautiful Teres HaGolos of the Ramah. Ki mitzion teitzei sora. But the Gra's pursuit of absolute emes, that returned and somehow magically appears as Minhagei Yerushalayim. And it had to be that way. Halacha needed to develop that way. There's the Pizur and the Pirud, and then there's the Kibbutz Golias. The Eder, and then the Hischadshus. In Kainim Advarim, now we're ready to go to the Yesod. And the Yesod is that before the full Chanukah HaMishkan, there needs to be a Soser Almanas Livnos. And that is to break apart and take down on the condition to build. And that, I'm looking at some of the Avreichim who are learning Hilcha Shabbos, that is a productive malacha. Stira to destroy, Almanas Livnos with the condition to build. And let's just take the Maral's point a step further. HaKadosh Baruch Hu believes this passionately. You know how passionately? The Derech Eitz Chaim Rav Chaim Vital writes that HaKadosh Baruch Hu built worlds and destroyed worlds. Built worlds and destroyed worlds. That's how the Rav Chaim Vital starts in explaining Kabbalah. In my little understanding, HaKadosh Baruch Hu created a tremendous trap for humanity because he felt he had to. And that trap was evolutionary theory and the appearance of different stages of the universe and evolution and so on. It's Parshat Pshat, according to Kabbalah, is simply the phenomenon of HaKadosh Baruch Hu building and destroying. Building and destroying. Why did HaKadosh Baruch Hu do that? Rashi and Bereishis tells us another time where HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us the opportunity for Apikorsim to make errors. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted to teach us something. HaKadosh Baruch Hu consulted with the angels before he created man, and Rashi says, he said, Nasa Adam, people can make a mistake and misunderstand. But it doesn't matter. HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted to teach us midos. HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted to teach us to build requires for a person to also destroy. And when a person destroys, when he destroys for the right reason, at the end of the Zman, when he realizes, wait a second, there are certain edifices that I've created that were false, certain things that I assumed were going to work for me during winter's man that didn't work, and he begins to take them apart at the end of Adar and to start to build again. And we spoke about this man and then falling again. Sheva yipol tzadik v'kam. HaKadosh Baruch Hu looks at that when we take apart and even when we fall as the greatest expression of closeness to him. And that answers the question of tshuva me'ava. Adar is a time of Ava for tzvei dinim, for two halachos. It's a time of Ava because it's the opportunity of a nafochu, and it's also a time of Ava where HaKadosh Baruch Hu says to us, I love you even if you fell. I love you even though you realize at the end of this man that there were failures. I love you if you realize that you have to take apart and not build. By the way, at the end of this man, with my Talmidim, after Purim, we don't go Vayter and Gemara. You know what we do? We do Chazara from the last 2 weeks of Adar on the entire Zman. Why? Because now we start again. And just today we realize the Pshat that we liked 3 months ago, it's not correct because of the Gemara later on. We're Seiser, so we should be unhappy. Everything we worked on turns out wrong. No, that's Ava. That's the love for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's HaKadosh Baruch Hu's love for us. And with the Yerida, with one condition, HaKadosh Baruch Hu loves us, and that is that there's a desire that despite the Yerida, it should be Almanas Livnos, with the condition to build. That's why Adar is called Zman of Ava. And that's a necessary requisite for Hakamas HaMishkan. Hakamas HaMishkan and Geula of Nisan can't come about in a vacuum. It has to come about with a stage before, and that is Stira, and Binyan. And Aaron HaKohen is not ready yet. Aaron also requires Hechsher. You know, it reminds me, to be able to accept that one hasn't succeeded, and to be able to accept constructive criticism or criticism in general, and to be knocked down by your Rabbeim, by friends, Rabbeim who are doing it L'Shem Shemayim, and friends that are doing it L'Shem Shemayim, it's so important. They say, the Talmidim have heard from me in the past, they say that Shlomo HaMelech was a chacham, he called Adam, was the wisest of all men, and that there were two women that were fighting over a baby. Each one said that the baby was there. So Shlomo HaMelech said, so we'll cut him in half. One mother said, no. The other one said, absolutely. And turned to the one that said, no, and said, you're the mother. So one time there was a boy who got engaged to a girl. And this boy was a great guy. And the mothers of the girl, each one said that their daughter had been engaged to the guy. So the Rav said, so let's cut the boy in half. So one said, absolutely. The other one said, no, don't cut him half. So he turns to the mother and who said, absolutely, and said, you're the mother-in-law. There's a function for the mother-in-law. There's a role of the mother-in-law. By the way, I said this joke in the past. A few months ago, this past summer, I said again in the Kingsway Jewish Center. A couple weeks later, I was in the mountains with my in-laws, and my mother-in-law says to me, I heard you said the mother-in-law joke. And I was like, oh no. And then she said, but I heard that you said my mother-in-law is not that way. So if you speak to my mother-in-law is not that way. So, but HaKadosh Baruch Hu puts everything in the world, HaKadosh Baruch Hu puts everything in the world for a reason. And he puts constructive criticism there for a reason. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants us to be able to take apart as well as to build. Now we can go to the other question. HaKadosh Baruch Hu dwelling amongst us, isn't that Nisan? So the answer is no. The answer is no. What's most important in terms of HaKadosh Baruch Hu dwelling is not the fait accompli after the Shechina that comes down, but it's the process. Rosh Chodesh Nisan is a fait accompli after you have the Shivas Yimei HaMiluim. Let me sharpen this idea from Bill Parcells. I was in the States just a couple of days ago, and that's hence the sore throat, Purim and Chasna, Baruch Hashem, driving down the highway, and I noticed an advertisement from Bill Parcells, Baruch Hashem. 20 years ago, I would have remembered the advertisement verbatim, but I don't anymore, but it goes something along the lines like this. It's not how well you play, it's whether you win. That was Parcells' line. The truth is, pardon me for the alumnus, it's Bill Parcells' Lishitasa. Because in 1990, the Giants won the Super Bowl with Otis Anderson was their running back. Now, the Giants, sounds familiar? Now, at the time, do you remember who their quarterback was? Baruch Hashem, I think I've already forgot. Someone told me you think Jeff Hostetler. Okay, Jeff Hostetler was there. Very good. You see, the Rabbeim know. The Talmidim, they're busy learning. The Rabbeim are watching football all day. Anyhow, so Jeff Hostetler is their quarterback. I have machlokas with another Rebbe who was the worst quarterback to ever win a Super Bowl. So I hold it was Jeff Hostetler. That's what I hold. Anyhow, how did the Giants win? This has nothing to do with the schmooze, but it's fun. So how did the Giants win? The Giants won by Parcells controlling the ball. Otis Anderson was a decent running back. And basically, they won the game. They told me this year's Super Bowl was boring. That was even just as bad. The Giants won like something like 13-6 or something like that. It was a boring Super Bowl. They just controlled the game. That's Bill Parcells' Lishitasa. What's important is not any fancy plays. Control the ball, good defense, and you win. By us, it's not that way. Not because we have a different sheet about offense or defense, but because we believe that the most important part is not the chalos, it's not the result. The most important part is the process of binyan and stira. Hence, when does HaKadosh Baruch Hu dwell amongst us? When there is Sheva Yipol Tzadik Vikam. When there is binyan and stira. That's Dira of Kut Shebrichu. Rosh Chodesh Nisan is a fait accompli after you have those 7 days. And that's why it concludes the year. Because at the end of the year, every single one of us realizes that there were certain shortcomings that we had. That there are things. And if you're not realizing it, then Rabosai, wake up. You have another couple days. To realize that now there were things that I didn't accomplish that I could have. I'm zochet to be neighbors with Eish HaTorah. Legend has it that Rav Noach Weinberg Zatzal, when I think about it, I can't believe it. I'm blown away. Legend has it that Rav Noach Weinberg built 5 different yeshivas and closed them and failed before Eish HaTorah. I'm daunted just to say Yoredeish here next year. Forget about to open a yeshiva. Open the yeshiva, closed it, it failed. Opened, closed, split, this, that. 6th yeshiva was Eish HaTorah. Who's doing that here? That's how you build Torah. That's how you build yourself before you go on to build a yeshiva. That's the preparation for Geula. Churban needs to happen before Geula. Rav Shlomo Zalman Zatzal's yard site is not a coincidence. It's at the end of Adar, if I'm not mistaken, Chav Dalet Adar. Somewhere around there. Rav Shlomo Zalman's yard site is like that. I knew somebody who grew up in Shari Chesed who said that Rav Shlomo Zalman as a teenager was not the Rav Shlomo Zalman, the Gadol Adar, in his Midos. I would feel uncomfortable saying it, but it's quoted also, aside from the woman that I heard it from, who was a tzaddikus herself. It's quoted in the Sefer Torah Misameches that Rav Shlomo Zalman Zatzal said about himself. Rabosai, that's called Dira B'Kudsha Brichu. Realizing that, taking it down, putting it up again, taking it down, that's how we create worlds. With that, Be'ezer Hashem, we'll be ready for Chodesh Nisan, be ready for Geula, to be ready to be a new person. Be'ezer Hashem, to be Dovik, to Kudsha Brichu, and be Mekadesh Shem Shemayim.